Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And, we're in the midst of, it seems strange because it's the way we have like a year and a half before the election. But we're in the midst of a very heated political campaign already. And the Democratic candidates have strutted their stuff. And they have made their appearance on the stage. And so one of the weirder candidates is Marianne Williamson. She's really kind of an outlier. But, and, you know, I got to say, I mean, I don't envision her being president. I, you know, some of her views, I think, are, shall we say, a little eccentric.
Yeah.
You know, to make her a world leader, I'm not sure is, and I don't want to.
She's more spiritual.
Yeah, and I don't want to offend anybody.
She may be ahead of her time.
You know, because it's tough when you talk about politics. People really get inflamed. You know, some people maybe die in the woods, Marianne Williamson supporters. Others may think she's horrible and that we shouldn't even give her any credence. But I got to tell you, among all the political candidates, her, looking at her website, Marianne2020.com, and I don't do this to plug her because she's going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, she's going nowhere. But it's really interesting that as a candidate, she's bringing up some of the salient health issues that we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine. And this is not to say that Aori and Democratic or Republican, you know, I think there are different ways that we can look at the way healthcare can be delivered here, from, you know, Medicare for all, socialized medicine, to a full-on free enterprise system based on choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so interesting. She writes about environmental stuff. Here's her platform, and I did talk about it on one of my radio programs. Require a healthcare system reimburse medical professionals for a broader array of lifestyle and nutrition support focused on preventing disease and or addressing root causes. What could be better?
Integrative and functional medicine.
Provide patients with more robust ongoing support from nutritionists, health coaches, therapists, and mental health exercise specialists, other peripheral lifestyle treatment providers. Restrict the marketing of overly processed and sugary foods to our children.
Excellent ideas.
Shape food policies using cutting-edge public health science instead of following the lead of lobbyists for industries whose sole focus is profit. Prevent environmental degradation, develop healthy communities which have walking paths, bike paths, emphasize research into preventing disease rather than treating symptoms. We also need to find non-pharmacological ways to treat mental health issues. Blah, 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 blah. You know, there's some really...
That lines up.
That's some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish that any of the political candidates would have the courage to adopt some of those precepts in their campaign. I mean, some of the ones who have a realistic prospect at getting in there.
Yeah.
Because... You know, what are the big issues? The issues are, you know, healthcare and taxes and defense and foreign policy and global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are, you know, climate change, call it what you will. But nobody is addressing what, you know, really I think is a crisis for our country, which is the kind of healthcare and the whole ecosystem in which we get ill.
Yes.
You know, the food environment, the toxic environment, the, you know, that's the context in which we're experiencing healthcare problems.
And it's not healthcare. It should be called sick care more than anything. There's not enough attention given to prevention or getting that message out. And it's very hard when you're competing with these ginormous food companies.
Yeah.
Who, by the way...
And pharmaceutical companies.
Have created their own scientific advisory councils.
Yep.
One of the more prominent presentations that we saw at IHS Integrative Healthcare Symposium was from Dr. Mark Hyman.
And he did a wonderful rundown of that.
All about how the
conflicts
food,
of interest.
Conflicts of interest, how many advisory councils that they were created by Coca-Cola alone.
So, you know, we have this call in this country, like, let's pay attention to real science.
Yeah.
And what that's about is that some people, you know, claim that politicians are deniers of the real science about climate change. But what we're talking about, you know, in the food realm is fake news, fake health news that's shaped by the sponsorship of drug companies,
yes,
and the sponsorship by the
big food.
To shape attitudes and to propagandize people with, you know, these beliefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, support groups for patients with various diseases are supported and infiltrated by pharmaceutical companies, and so on.
So they're really still kind of running the show.
Yeah.
So it takes quite a bit of bravery to stand up and to let everybody know and have our healthcare be really about healthcare. It has to start with our lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean,
as hard as that could be for many people.
I mean, what's
to go changing?
What's going to happen? She's going to lose the nomination?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
yeah.
She's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, she's got nothing to lose. I love that she brings these ideas to the forefront.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe in 75, 100 years, she would be president or someone like her.
Or maybe make her a Surgeon General.
Yeah, Surgeon General would be good.
Yeah.
With those kind of ideas, that would be great.
Yep. It's just interesting, you know, to see that the least likely candidate espouses some of the beliefs that really should be front and center.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so let's go to questions. Oh, by the way, let's allow one of our sponsors to share an important message with you. So here goes. Please listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And, you know, we want to keep it that way. So now back to our questions. Layla, what's next?
Yeah, we have an email from Bo. He actually sends a link to an article which is very interesting about gut bacteria and aerobic capacity. Worthwhile wondering if you guys could comment on this article below, and it's, does your gut bacteria impact physical performance? Can gut bacteria improve athletic performance? Well, there's a new study where researchers have found that a specific type of bacteria is associated with the capacity for aerobic exercise.
Can you pronounce it?
It's Veillonella. Vile or Veillonella, Veillonella.
Like Kurt
Veillonella.
Like Kurt Veil.
Like Veil.
Kurt Veil.
Veillonella. Now, Veillonella may play a role.
That's a rock group. I thought you'd get that reference.
No.
Kurt Veil.
Kurt Veil.
It's just an obscure rock group.
No.
Okay.
Don't know it. Surprised I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So Veillonella may play a role in the conversion of lactate into propionate, which is a short-chain fatty acid.
Which is fuel.
Yeah. Now, lactate is a byproduct of glucose metabolism. It's that burn you get in your legs.
Lactic
acid buildup.
Right.
Right. It's associated with exercise-related fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And this Veillonella bacteria is not found in the microbiome of sedentary people.
Okay. So, that's interesting. Now, so what I did a story a while ago, a few months ago, about take your microbiome for a run, with the idea being that you change your microbiome with exercise.
Yeah.
But could it be one of those chicken and egg things that people who have a preponderance of the wrong bacteria feel lethargic and don't feel like exercising? Or is it that just get off your butt, exercise, and you will change your microbiome?
Yeah.
You know, which came first, the lack of violin, whatever it's called.
Veillonella.
Veillonella.
Mm-hmm.
I like that name.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of like a
Veillonella.
What does it make you think?
Makes me think of a fruit, but the ella at the end brings it to something else. I can't decide what. Veillonella. Violin ella.
Mm-hmm.
No. Anyway, makes me think of veil.
The thing is, its growth is enhanced by exercise, obviously, but its presence may be a precondition to desire and ability to exercise. So it's not clear which came first.
Now,
have they done any clinical trials by giving this stuff to one or another experimental animals? Probably they'd start with animals to see if the animals run like the treadmill faster or something.
Right, right. For what they did was they transferred the specific Violinella from one of the runners where they found it
right.
in their microbiome into a group of mice
okay.
who then were right. given a treadmill test.
Right.
Showed 13% greater improvement mm-hmm. when compared to mice whose microbiome was
unaltered. I thought you were going to say the mice went out and bought Nike sneakers or something. No.
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
No.
So, but it proves that the mice were more active.
Okay. Yeah, they reacted. 13% greater improvement. I don't know how statistically significant that might be. But.
So the idea being is that in the future, you may be able to go either to the health food store or get a prescription for Violinella.
Yeah.
It's like pretty cool stuff.
Uh-huh.
They'll culture it and they'll, you know, have to go through a lot of regulatory. Is it safe?
Yeah.
And then, you know, approvals and then marketing and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing that with something called Akkermansia. Akkermansia is a type of beneficial bacteria that may be anti-obesity mm-hmm. and also promotes cardiovascular wellness and improves metabolic. And, you know, I mentioned this on my show, is a lot of research being done at the University of Leuven, which is in Belgium. And I had an opportunity to visit there, you know, because I've gotten some new in-laws there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful university. It's been around since, God knows when, like 1400 or something. And it's interesting. So anyway, so they're doing the research on Akkermansia,
uh-huh.
which is Akkermansia, and that they're talking about marketing that by 2021 as a cardiovascular preventive and something maybe that could help metabolic syndrome.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to see more, and you know, this is a theme we've been talking about. It's much more functional probiotics, very targeted.
Yeah.
In other words, probiotics that we talked about probiotics that could prevent kidney stones. We have talked about probiotics that might prevent vaginitis or urinary tract infections.
Yeah.
Probiotics that may improve depression or mood because they're actually, or even probiotics that may help with Parkinson's because we know there's a gut linkage to Parkinson's. You know, so this is going to explode. And I think we're going to see that in the next 10, 15 years is very targeted probiotics. And you better believe that there's a lot of commercial interest in this. There are companies that are queued up to exploit the benchwork of researchers at various universities across the world who are looking at these associations. And, you know, I would be tempted to get Violinella, you know, probiotic to improve my, you know, running, biking,
take some
swimming
Violinella
times.
And
right.
Go and just, be a triathlete.
And Zoom, you know, take, you know, 30 seconds off my time, you know.
There you go. That could be something. Or start running, and like you said, is it the chicken or the egg? Or
yeah.
Do that.
But in the meantime, the best that we have now is you can actually take your microbiome for a run. You'll improve your microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make a difference.
And, you know, folks, you could change your microbiome in as little as a handful of days just by changing your diet. It can be that drastic what happens.
Yep.
And I think that also speaks to not just the deal, with
get
the
up,
ecosystem.
Get up the sugar, the starches, the alcohol.
All of that kind of stuff. You stop feeding the bad stuff.
Processed foods.
More of the good stuff
the
with prebiotics and probiotics.
Get off artificial sweetened beverages, which we know damage and destroy the microbiome.
Right. Other things that damage and destroy the microbiome as well as intestinal lining are emulsifiers and additives and preservatives, even those that are generally regarded as safe, GRAS.
Yep. Right.
And don't think that they should be regarded as safe. They really shouldn't.
Meat glue.
Oh,
you know,
my.
Which is actually, I mean, but it's used a lot in processed meats.
Yeah.
I think we have one more question.
We do. Let's see here. This comes from Chris. Hi, I was wondering if Dr. Hoffman or Layla can comment about sunscreens. Now that it's summer, I spend practically all weekend putting on copper tone all over my body, and I recently caught an article. He sent us the link. Saying that the oxybenzone, along with three other chemicals...
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. Found in these sunscreens can cause cancer and a host of other bodily disturbances. naturally, there are more expensive sunscreens that don't contain
said chemicals. There's some xenoestrogens in some of those,
yes,
too.
Yes, there are gender benders in there.
Yeah.
Plus, they have parabens and other things.
Right.
So, yeah, oxybenzone is not terrific.
Plus, there's some controversy, and I'm not really acquainted with the physics of it, is that they may protect against a certain type of rays, but are permissive of another type of rays, and that may not be good.
Right. They may not be blocking all of the UVA rays,
mm-hmm.
which are the photo-damaging, aging, wrinkle-making rays.
So it gives you, you spend more time in the sun with impunity because you don't burn, but you're getting some damage nonetheless. Right?
And remember that the skin is the largest organ,
mm-hmm.
and we absorb a lot from there.
And when it's hot and your pores are open,
good.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. People are throwing away their aluminum cookware mm-hmm. because of a fear of aluminum. You are not getting nearly the amount of aluminum from your cookware via the oral route through your mm-hmm. food than through your antiperspirant, which you put on your skin under your mm-hmm. arms every day. So the skin absorbs a lot.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of these.
So I have some personal acquaintance with that because I recently went down to Dominican Republic after sort of a very long winter. I survived. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what was going on there. The people were dropping like flies all around. But we didn't know about it. We went down and there was a wedding and it was good. And I went scuba diving and I spent a lot of time in the sun. And I made sure to get the cleanest sunscreen, but very high sunscreen, but like it was SPF 50.
Yeah.
And it was zinc oxide. Mm-hmm. And I did not want the nano particles.
Yes.
I just wanted zinc. So zinc oxide is sort of what the lifeguards used to put on their noses.
Yeah.
And it makes it look awful because, it just looks, you look like you just smeared like cold cream on your body. But it really blocks everything. I came back and I barely got a tan down there.
Wow.
Works. But I didn't burn. The other thing that I noticed makes a difference for me is by taking EGCG from green tea, I think that's protective. I think there's several other things that are protective against burns. Lycopene, green tea, astaxanthin, mm-hmm. maybe protective. These are some of the things that seem to confer protection against skin damage. But, you can't, they actually have, they've actually clamped down on people who make the claim that you can take a pill that's like an internal sunscreen. So we didn't just say that. We can't talk about that.
Right.
We'll be raided by the FDA or something if we advocate those pills.
Yeah. Another association with skin cancer rates going up since, the last 30 years or so. Well, around 30 years or so was the introduction of sunscreens and sunblocks.
Hmm.
So there are studies underway looking at those particular ingredients to see if these are the causes of cancer.
Wow.
Besides disrupting the endocrine system and so forth and so on.
There's also some evidence on niacinamide as a skin cancer preventive.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. the dosage is fairly high. It's like 1,000 or 1,500 a day. But if people who are getting these skin cancers picked off their bodies all the time, and I'm not talking about melanoma. This is only basal cell and squamous cell.
Mm-hmm.
High-dose niacinamide, and I have some of our patients on it who have very prone to skin cancer.
Yeah.
And it seems to be reducing their trips to the dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should go to the dermatologist to get checked, but it reduces the need for biopsies and excisions.
Right. So, Chris, I would urge you first to go to EWG.org.
They're all over that. That's one of their big issues.
Yeah. And more directly to another website, which is linked to EWG, Environmental Working Group, called SafeCosmetics.org.
Okay.
SafeCosmetics. It's either a .org or a .com, but it's SafeCosmetics, no spaces or periods in between or anything
That's very important for our patients. We emphasize that in our teaching because we just don't want to smear all this stuff, eating a very clean diet and then smearing a lot of chemicals on your body ain't good.
Exactly. Or using the wrong cleansers and doing all this other stuff or, putting on lipstick that's got lead in it.
I got another one for you.
Hmm.
This is extremely exciting. research that I talked about on my radio show last week, which shows that the skin microbiome has the potential to protect against melanoma. There are certain substances that are excreted by certain types of healthy bacteria on the skin, mm-hmm. which retard melanoma. That's really exciting. So what they're going to probably do with that is instead of giving a living skin probiotic for people with melanoma, they might extract that clone that substance.
That's exciting.
You know, and make it a topical application.
That's exciting.
You know, or give it to people in a pill as a preventive. But it emphasized the importance of the skin microbiome, and there's actually a whole new area in nutraceuticals, which is for topical probiotics, probiotics which are designed to help you with acne, that are designed to help you with eczema, that are designed to help you with psoriasis potentially, although that's a tough one, and even skin cancer. In other words, you're applying germs to your body.
Yeah.
Think of all the stuff we do to get rid of the germs. We wash, we scrub, we use disinfectant soap. We're killing off some of the protective factors we have in our skin.
That's true. That's why you don't want to use antibacterial soaps. You're actually ridding your skin of the beneficial bacteria. For the same reason, you don't want to use mouthwash with alcohol in it. You're getting rid of the beneficial bacteria in your mouth. That's helpful. So, Chris, go to those websites, EWG.org to choose your sunscreen or safecosmetics.org. They do the work for you. They rate them based on what's safe, what's a little bit risky, and what you should really stay away from.
I used a kid's formula.
I use baby bum or something that's out there that I put that on my face and so forth going out.
Because, I mean, if the consideration for kids is, no, we don't want to put chemicals on kids. It's like, oh, now I'm an adult. Now I can put chemicals on my skin?
No. It's like the same seafood guidelines. I'll follow the same seafood guidelines for pregnant women, too, please.
Right.
For the rest of us.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
So you don't want to load up with mercury just because you're not pregnant.
Yeah, it's like, you're not giving birth to a baby. It's okay. All that mercury can go to your brain.
Right.
No problem.
Right.
I mean, if it causes mental retardation in your baby, that's bad. But if it slowly deteriorates your mental functioning, that's okay.
Could you imagine?
On that note, let's sign off for this week. And we encourage people to send us emails with your questions. radioprogram@AOL.com. Anything goes. There's no question that we can't field that as long as it's related to health here on Intelligent Medicine. So
thank you for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.